Heavenly Father, we are before you with hearts full of gratitude for the gift of this season. Lord, we praise you, Lord, that you're uniting our hearts from coast to coast and blanketing this nation in prayer. God, we just praise you and thank you for this sweet hour of prayer this afternoon. May your name be lifted high and be glorified. We want to honor you. So we humble our hearts before you now, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. I'm glad you could be here, and all those joining us online and at our dear sister church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. It's a joy to be with you this afternoon as we come before the Lord in a spirit of repentance, to repent on behalf of the church and this nation and the world. I just want to encourage people to this afternoon as we're praying. I've heard word from people they're enjoying hearing everybody's prayers through their microphone, and I just encourage you to continue doing that so that we can blanket this nation with our prayers. We lift up the word of God. We want that to go out into the airwaves. We know that God's word is eternal. So I just want to encourage you with that, to come and to pray the word, pray his heart, and bless all those who are listening as we unite our hearts in his prayer. This morning we talked about, in our devotional, is this wonderful account in Zechariah where he was given a vision of this lampstand that was being fed with oil from two olive trees. And this was a word of encouragement to Zerubbabel, the governor at that time, to be able to continue with the building of the temple. And the Lord encouraged him by saying that it would not be by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then right after that, he says these words. This is Zechariah 4, and this is verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. So we see that the Lord is encouraging him that this would not be done in his flesh or with his power, or with an army of people assisting him, but by the Spirit of God alone. But because there was this great mountain, there was this great obstacle in his path, there was some kind of impediment. And that's what this noon hour is about. In our lives, in the church, in our world, there are these impediments to our receiving blessing from the Lord. There are these obstacles in our path that are hindering our prayers, and we want to be able to clear the channel. And so it's wonderful that the Lord is providing us this hour every day, these 21 days, to just get on our faces, humble ourselves before the Lord, lay our hearts bare before him so he can examine them and test them and show us our wicked ways, show us our sin, show us those things to be cleansed. So, and we do that by his grace, right? It's his grace. And that's what they shout once this capstone comes forth. It's grace, it's grace, it's all of grace. Everything that God does for us is by his grace. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So in order for us to have true success, like Zerubbabel was going to experience, by being under the power of the Holy Spirit, true success in the believer's life is this understanding that we need to recognize our weakness, acknowledge our weakness in the presence of God. We don't march out into battle as, you know, Christian soldiers in our own strength. That is not how God fights his battles. He wants weak warriors in our flesh, and he wants us strong and mighty in the spirit. And if you remember when we talked about David a couple of days ago, when he went to battle against Goliath, he didn't want that human armor. He wasn't going to go on the field like that. He literally went on the field practically naked before the giant. What was he armed with? His faith, right? And the Spirit of God was upon him. We know that from the scriptures. The Spirit of God was upon him. And so God is not going to use a warrior who's going to go out in his own strength. He is not going to enable a warrior who's going out in their own strength, because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God wants those who serve him to serve him in his way and in his strength. Otherwise, we're useless to him. He will not accept our service. He's not going to honor anything that we do in our own strength. He'll only honor what's done in his divine strength. And so he's going to, like this big impediment, this mountain, he's saying it's going to become a plain. We don't have to worry about it. He's going to do the same thing in our lives. He's going to speak to those mountains, those obstacles, that sin, that self, that flesh, and he's going to empty us of it. He's going to rid us of it. We've talked about that earlier in the week, where he's going to come with his mighty sword. We see him as Jehovah Sabaoth. Online, you may not see the graphic of the sword. We have the sword here, and that's the word of God. He's going to use his sword, that living and powerful weapon that's double-edged, and he wants to cut into the joint and the marrow, get in there and cut out everything that's making us weak. And he's going to clean us and make us whole and healthy. His battles, the only way that we're going to be used in his battle is in his strength, not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord of hosts, says Jehovah Sabaoth. So we need to have this conscious recognition that we are weak before the Lord, and the only way that we're going to be victorious in the battles that we face is armed in his strength. The life of a Christian is to always be empty and dependent upon God for supply. He says to us in John 10:10, I came to give you life and life to the full, life more abundantly, right? And at the woman at the well, he told her, you know, if you drink this water, you know, out of you is going to flow this irrepressible fountain of life. He's going to release this fountain in us. But right now, he knows, and he's telling us in these 21 days, something is stopping the flow of his spirit. And we need to unblock that flow. And one of the ways we do that is through fasting. And fasting is a wonderful gift God has given us, which, honestly, the world, I mean, you know, it's a natural discipline that has been used in the medical realm for hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, long before modern medicine, fasting was the way they healed people, because you give your body rest. So I want you to see fasting as that. It's rest. The body was designed for rest. And so I encourage you, for those who are afraid of fasting, nobody's asking you to do 40 days on water only. What God is asking you is to come to his table and eat the food that he has prepared for you, and to come away with him and get rest, not only for your physical body outwardly, just to sit in his presence, but inwardly, all that your body's been going on, everything you're polluting it with, all the things you're eating. And he's like, it's time to give it rest. When we're ill, whenever you get sick, what's the first thing that goes away? Your appetite. When you're in a crisis situation, the last thing you're thinking about is, I need to make that reservation and go eat. You're focused on the battle at that moment. Fasting is a way to equip ourselves ahead of time to be proactive for the battles and to give us that rest that we need. And it does put us in a weak and vulnerable state, and that's okay. I mean, I know we're all afraid of that, right? To be hungry and tired and weak. But God wants us to, what we say, recognize and acknowledge our weakness before him. And fasting puts us in a position to receive his divine strength, because we're utterly dependent upon him. So unlike the world, when they follow this intermittent fasting and they're giving up food for a certain time, they're not taking anything intake spiritually. Christians, it's called spiritual fasting, biblical fasting, because when you are pausing your body physically, you're actually pouring more into it spiritually. And we do that through the word of God. So these three times a day, as you're getting your devotional, there's a reason why it's three meals a day, because that's what you would normally eat physically, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So even if you're not giving up all your meals, maybe you're giving up one meal a day, or maybe it's just one day a week that you're committing to fast, every day of the journey, take the spiritual meals and do them morning, noon, and night. God wants to build a discipline in our lives of dependence upon him. He wants us to recognize our weakness without him and exercise our spiritual fitness. We need to begin to awaken the spirit within us. All those other appetites are ruling our lives right now. We know it. The flesh is ruling, and it has its way. When the stomach starts growling, when we just need to get away and with music or entertainment or whatever it is, the television, internet, TikTok, whatever you do that just like gives your mind rest or keeps it distracted, that doesn't help you spiritually. It only feeds the flesh. Fasting is a time to stop feeding the flesh, say no to the flesh, whatever it may be, and feed the spirit, the Holy Spirit within us. And he wrote us the menu plan in his word. He's given us the full banquet. It's right here. Your Holy Bible is the full banquet. It's the feast. And this is where we come. So I like to call fasting seasons feasting seasons, because you get to just partake of the goodness of God and your soul gets to experience its full satisfaction. And we get to see in our weakness, don't be afraid of it. He shows his strength, and you experience the Spirit of God, his power to sustain, his power to give you, tune your hearing. You hear things and you see things, and your understanding is illuminated in a way never before when you submit to fasting. But you don't have to give up all your food every day with only water to experience that. The important thing in fasting is to pray and ask the Lord, what does he want from you? He knows your schedule. Where in your schedule does he want to carve a way that you can be with him? When we're fasting, it's not to get busier so that you forget that you're not eating. And so you're worried, like, okay, I got to keep busy so I don't get hungry and run to the refrigerator. No. It's a time for you to cultivate that intimacy with God and get in the word. And if you do, if you made a commitment with God and you falter and fail, it's okay. Wipe the crumbs off. And get back in the word. He's not going to, he's not going to punish you. This isn't about punishing you. This is about bringing you into a deeper abiding relationship with him, because he loves us. He loves us so much. And he just wants us to experience the fullness of his Holy Spirit power that's within us. And he does that. And the way he equips us for battle is just with unlikely weapons, like Gideon. He sent him into battle with just a trumpet and a torch. That's all they were equipped with to win the battle. And we saw with Joshua and Jericho, they were just sent out, the priests going before with their trumpets, and the walls came down with a shout. So we just need to trust him. David with just a sling and a stone. We want to hear how he wants to defeat these impediments and these mountains and these obstacles in our life. And he's going to do it in the most unique and unusual way. But you're not going to know if you're so filled with the flesh and the self and sin. I mean, we know that even our Lord Jesus, right? It was after his 40 days that he was tempted. It wasn't during the 40 days. So I want to encourage you that, the protection that you have and that time that's carved away with the Lord, he's equipping you because he knows at the end, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. He's going to test all that new growth, that spiritual growth in your life. So be aware that that's going to come too at the end of this. So when we fast, we're building up an artillery. He's making us a mighty weapon. So he's filling us with this artillery of his word so that we go out in the world and we just begin to spew life, spew hope, spew salvation and grace to the world. So we got to do that by eating the word of God daily. We know the word says, Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And just remember that our life is a spiritual life. And in order for us to walk in the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And we do that by being in the Word. And when we get into that place with him, we're eating our spiritual meals on a regular basis. God is going to expose, because the Word of God's a living an act of sword, right? It's a weapon. It's going to cut. So he's going to expose the motivations of our heart. Why are you doing these things? If you're coming in a spirit of fasting and prayer because you have something that you're wanting to accomplish in your life, God wants you to align your life with his purposes. And he's going to show that to you if you're earnest and willing to go there with him these 21 days. Those things that you're seeking, he's going to show you if you spend that time, if you're diligent. He says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what he wants to do for us in this season, to help us to get to a place in our walk with him that we easily discern the spiritual and the natural in our life. He does that cutting work, and he opens our eyes, opens our ears, and gives us that understanding to be able to see what's natural, what's spiritual, what's carnal, and what's fleshly. He wants to do in our life so that he can ultimately, what is he doing? He's transforming us into the beautiful image of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what he's doing. And it's beautiful that our Savior, you know, at the very beginning of his own ministry, before he came out publicly, he was taken by the Spirit of the Lord into the wilderness. The Spirit took him out there to fast and then to be tempted. So let's trust the work of the Spirit that God has given us in our lives, personally, that he's given to indwell with us. So the only wrong way you can fast, I get questions all the time. Okay, is this exactly what I'm supposed to do? And I was like, no, the only wrong way to fast is if you do it in your own strength. You need to admit your weakness. Say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know you've called me to your table, and I just want to sit in your presence, and I want to receive the meal that you prepared for me, Lord. And my ministry for the last 16 years, that's all it's really been, is every day, 16 years of sitting at his table, and he'll hand me a little recipe card, and he'll say, here, daughter, I want you to go prepare this for my children. That's what you're seeing in this journey that we're doing. This is just a recipe he's given me. He said, daughter, this is the food I want them to eat in this season. Will you cook it, prepare it for them? And that's all I'm called to do, is just be a mom preparing a meal and seeing the children fed, well-fed, spiritually fed. And I just pray for everyone who's participating in this that you do, and use it as just a starting point to your journey every day. It's not a full meal. It's just a little taste to see how good God is, and then let him take you deeper. So have your prayer journals out, your notebooks out, and allow him to teach and show you in this season. Because the secret to the church's power is the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not by might, nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And it's what the original church in the very beginning, when it was being birthed, it was by them, like we're doing here all across the nation. They came together. They were in one accord, united together in prayer, seeking the Lord. And that's when the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Lord told them, you will receive power after that time when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be witnesses of me. So we need his power. And we received his Spirit when we believed. So let's cultivate the spiritual life and go out walking in the Spirit. One of the things about this wonderful book of Zechariah, I encourage you just to read it. It's just so full of beautiful prophecy, vision, and encouragement for what the Lord is doing. But in the very first couple chapters, the very first chapter, he's talking about what's happening in that day, what they're going through. They've just come out of captivity. And he called the people to repent. And that's what the Lord's calling us to do today. Spiritual renewal will not come until we get on our faces and repent. It's just not going to happen. We need to spend that time doing that. We pray prayers of repentance to restore our relationship with God. That's what the Lord's doing in this season. He loves us so much. We're his little lambs. He doesn't want us wandering. He wants us close to his heart. He wants us to learn more about him and be nourished in the knowledge of him. So repentance is a turning away from that thing that's keeping you from the Lord, and a turning to the Lord, drawing near to him. And it opens the door for God's forgiveness, healing. And we know that from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's the one thing that's going to bring the answer, the remedy to the healing upon our land. And it's the responsibility of the church to do that. So let's go before the Lord now. We're going to use this time to repent. Again, we're standing in the gap. So it's not only about, you know, whatever you need to do in private, what the Lord's showing or what you want to reveal, that's between you and the Lord, and then whatever he's showing you in his word. There are wonderful prayers of repentance in here we can pray. We know all of the things as we in our own lives. We just need to repent. And again, I want to encourage you, we have a lot of people listening, and I know it can be hard to go to the microphone and pray. If you want to come up here and just kneel and get low and use this mic, it's going to be right here on the rug, or if you want to stand at that microphone, I just want to encourage you that we're uniting our hearts in God's love. And there is something that maybe somebody needs to hear that's going to break them open if you just pray it out. So that's, God has chosen this church. This is the church he's chosen to do that. And then he's connected us with others. But we have the microphone and they can hear us. We can't hear them. So I just want us to treasure and steward that call that he's given us to do in this season. And I just encourage you, don't be afraid of the microphone. They can't see you up there. They can only hear you. And if you're praying the word of God, if you're praying the heart of God, this is what's going to break us open, unite our hearts in Jesus' love, and do a mighty, powerful work in the body of Christ. And it's going to bring healing. It's going to connect that sinew and joint together wherever there's some weakness in the body so that we all grow up together into the head, which is Christ. We want to be healthy and whole and holy. So let's go before the Lord now and pray and repent. Fountain of living water, Jesus, fill us with your spirit. Send your breath right now across this land. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Breathe upon these dry bones and say, live. Purify our hearts. Clear away any of the corruption, whatever it is, God, that's hindering our prayers and blocking the flow of your blessings to the earth. Lord, you've placed us here to stand in the gap in this season, all across the nation, uniting our hands and our hearts in prayer across this land to blanket it with your love and forgiveness, God. Show us, Lord. Lead us, Holy Spirit. We lay our hearts before you. Examine them, Lord, we pray, in your mighty name. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice and they take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, to strike the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." So if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. O Lord, do this in our day. Make us a people, Lord, who will bring restoration to this land. Awaken your church in this hour. We are before you, Lord, with our hearts laid bare. Lord, we pray that you would cleanse our hearts from anything that hinders our closest communion with you. Lord, we delight to be in your presence, Lord, and we want you to find delight in us as your sons and daughters. We are blessed and highly favored, Lord. Lord, we repent for neglecting prayer and not spending time in your presence. Lord, renew in our hearts a desire to seek you daily. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Lord, we want to give ourselves wholly to you. We don't want any other rival affections drawing us away from you, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Make us clean. Restore us to a right relationship with you. We want that fullness of life you've promised, and we want to bring glory to your name. You say, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Lord, we need refreshing. Help us to humble ourselves before you, Holy Spirit, so you can do your sanctifying, purifying, fiery work in our lives, we pray.
First Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each of you has received a gift to minister to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak with the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, in that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, we repent, God, that we have not been as serious and watchful in our prayers, Lord God. And it is evident, Lord Jesus, because there is a lack of love, God. There is a grumbling, God, instead of being hospitable and excited about bringing people in, Lord, and serving and making people feel welcome, Lord. There is a spirit of grumbling, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, forgive us, God, for attempting to do a holy work, God, apart from your Holy Spirit. Come upon us, Lord Jesus, and fill us, God, afresh with your Holy Spirit so that we could have fresh fire, a fresh wind, God, to serve one another, to serve our families, to serve our children, to serve the body of Christ, to go after the unbelievers, God, in your power, Lord Jesus. Pour out a spirit of prayer among your body, Lord God. May we be people with real faith who link our shields up together to stand against the evil day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father God, forgive our pride, Lord. Forgive our disbelief and just our inability, Lord, to hear your voice because we get caught up in the busyness and the things of this world, Lord. We just pray that we will become people who will slow down and just listen to you more, Lord. And just during this time, Father God, just humble us, Lord, because we are so prideful. And Lord, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit.
don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep before the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them, and I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. O fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. We repent of relying on our own understanding instead of trusting you completely, meditating upon your word, Lord. You say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Lord, we repent of neglect of your word, that our physical fitness and health is more important than our spiritual health. Lord, restore to your church a love for your word and a longing to spend time with you. Let us be as Jeremiah, that when your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. O Lord, let your word come and let it be the delight of our hearts. Let it be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts, Lord. We are called by your name. We should love your word. We should love you more, Lord. We should desire to spend time with you. Turn our hearts back to you, Lord. Stoke that first love's flame. Let us burn on fire for you. Let people see the most unusual thing as we're walking the streets, these burning bushes on fire for the Lord. Let they be drawn to the warmth and light of your love. Holy Spirit, do your sanctifying work within our hearts, we pray. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word of came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon your people. If a pagan nation hears the word of God and repents, have mercy upon your people, Lord.
I surrender, I give it all to you, I give it all to you, I surrender, I surrender, I give it all to you, I give it all to you.
Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. O Lord God, we repent, God, for taking a haphazard approach, God, not considering, not thinking through, Lord, our actions. Lord God, putting personal affairs, Lord Jesus, above doing your work, before being busy about your business, about your work, building your kingdom, O Lord. Forgive us, God, for not thinking things through and considering our ways.
But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Father, I ask that you forgive me for being short-sighted and forgetting that I have been cleansed. God, for this very reason that we should give all diligence is because you have given us divine power to... Through your divine power, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have called us by glory and virtue, and you have given us exceedingly great and precious promises. Father, you have allowed us to escape the corruption that is in this world. So, Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen your followers, your believers, so that we do not become short-sighted, even to blindness. Father, that we would be growing in our faith, giving all diligence so that we add these attributes so that we can know you and be strong in you, Lord Jesus.
Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name. for it is good. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to us in this hour, speaking to our hearts, tenderly ministering to those places, Lord, that need serious surgery, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that that spirit of surrender, Lord, just falls upon the hearts of all your people this weekend, God, as we go to services and worship you and minister in your love. Let it come from that place of strength in your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to remember that you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled and the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God is in the midst of her. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, and we praise your glorious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Just a reminder, we do not have services this evening or the rest of the weekend. Enjoy your worship services. And as you go out, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Blessings to all you. Go out in the joy of the Lord. Enjoy your day, rejoicing. Thank you all for being here.